today. Welcome to all of our online family this morning. Just nice to see you with us today. Nice to have you with us in your home this morning. It's almost Christmas. Can you believe it? Almost Christmas, which is it's the crazy season is what many people call it. But for us, it's a season of celebration. And every Christmas, what we do as a church is we take the whole month to just reflect and to focus on the moment of what Christmas is all about. And I love the fact that we do it over a month. I love the fact we dress up our hall and we got the Christmas trees and we got the Christmas lights. And it just kind of makes everybody smile as they come into the hall. It kind of dials up the joy factor, doesn't it? It dials up the joy factor, which is a really important thing for us to do, particularly in a year like this year. How many of you could do a little bit of joy today? Come on, we certainly could. And so that's what we're celebrating. So our theme over this year for our Christmas season this month is going to be joy. I'm going to speak to you today about that, about joy and the joy that Christ brings to our Christmas season. You know, when the Bible tells the story of the birth and the arrival of Jesus, our Savior, it says that angels appeared to shepherds who were out in the field, just minding their own business, caring for their sheep, doing what shepherds do in the daily routine, the mundane, boring routines that they had. They're out in the field and an angel appeared to them, which is kind of unusual to have. It's not an everyday occurrence to have an angel appear to you. And it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds while they were minding their sheep and made this announcement. Today a Savior has been born to you in Bethlehem, and this Savior, this good news, will bring great joy for all the people. Let me read it to you. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10. It says, but the angel reassured them, that's the shepherds, don't be afraid, he said, I bring good news that will bring great joy. Can I stop on those two thoughts right there? Good news is what the announcement was that would bring, everyone say, great joy. Great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. Joy on steroids. Joy magnified. Joy propelled to a whole new trajectory of what normal joy was. This is great joy for not just the shepherds, but notice this, for all people. For any people in the room today, lift up your hand if you're a people. You're a people. Maybe you're singular. You're a person. If you're a person, if you're people today, the arrival of Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, is something that will bring great joy to every one of us. The angel goes on to say, yes, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You know, the truth is, the fact is that the time when Jesus was born, this very first Christmas that the Bible announces to us, where Christ came into the mess of this world, they were dark and terrible times. They were difficult times for the people that Jesus came into at that moment. These shepherds, these were dark and depressive times in world history. The Bible tells us that the king of the day, King Herod, had all of the boys who were 2 years of age and under murdered at this time when he heard of the birth of this new king, of Jesus, who would be the Lord, who would be our Savior, who would be our Redeemer. It says he had all of the boys, 2 years and under, murdered because he was so threatened that a new king had been born. So it was a time in Judea when the Jewish people were very much, the Hebrew people were very much depressed, very much disenfranchised, very much demoralized, because chaos surrounded them. Crisis surrounded them on a daily basis. They lived under the tyranny of the rule of the Roman government, and it was oppressive and dark and challenging times that they lived in. So chaos surrounded their world. Uncertainty surrounded their world. Instability surrounded their world. And insecurity surrounded their world. It's into that world, it's into those dark times that the message of Jesus pierced like light into humanity, and the angel said, hey, this is going to be good news. Everyone say good news? Good news that will bring great joy for everyone. Great joy for everyone. You know, we live in a world today that still has a lot of challenge, a lot of crisis, a lot of chaos, a lot of difficulty, a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of insecurity. And we've been reminded of that this year more than any other year. We've been reminded how quickly life can change and go dark more than any other year that I can remember. And the truth is, we didn't see it coming. We didn't see it coming. It just kind of snuck up on us and took a hold of our year. And so we live right now in dark times. We live now in challenging times. And in all of that, it can seem like the message of hope, the message of peace, the message of great joy is concealed, but it's not. It pierces the darkness today with brilliant light, just as much as it did in that very first Christmas. The message is not lost. You know, the Christmas message was and is and always will be that Jesus's birth is both good news and great joy for all people. It's good news and great joy for all people. It's great joy in the darkest of circumstances. It's great joy in the middle of crisis. It's great joy in the middle of all the turmoil. It's great joy in the middle of the tension that we might be facing in our lives and circumstances, in our homes and in our families. It's great joy in the middle of all that. It's great joy in tribulation. It's great joy in uncertainty and insecurity and instability. It's great joy in struggle and stress. It's great joy even in a year of a pandemic. It's great joy, good news and great joy for all of the people. So our theme for this month of Christmas that we're going to focus on is that this is a season and a time of great joy. Joy in spite of every circumstance and situation that we might find ourselves confronted with. Joy in spite of what's happening around you. Joy in spite of what's going on in your world. Joy no matter what. Turn to your neighbor and say, no matter what. No matter what. Joy no matter what. Knowing that we can have joy under pressure. Joy under pressure. Here's my big thought about joy. Our joy is our responsibility. Our joy is our responsibility. Nobody else is responsible for your joy but you. That's a revelation to some people. They hear that and go, what? 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 Because they're thinking everyone else is responsible for their joy. Nobody else is responsible for your joy but you. When you realize that, when you own that, you are empowered to live with a spirit of joy. You can either host your joy or you can allow others to hold it hostage. You can either host it or allow others to hold it hostage. If your joy is being hijacked, it's because you're not hosting it. You're not hosting it. Turn to your neighbor and say, host it. If you're going to host it, you've got to hold it. If you don't hold it, you're not going to hold it. Hold your joy. You can't hold your joy if you don't hold your joy. Joy is personal. It's personal. Joy is a choice. Joy is an intention. Joy is being in control of your emotional state. Joy is being self-aware, aware of you, aware of your emotions. Joy is being emotionally intelligent. Emotionally intelligent. That's what joy is, that I may not be able to control what's happening to me, but I can certainly control what happens in me. I own that. I own that. My mum, many, many years ago, she's online today. She used to do, when I was a little kid, this is a long, long time ago, before black and white TV, a long, long time ago. Anyone remember those days? The good old days, those days. And back in those days in church, we didn't do kids' church. It was called Sunday school. And in Sunday school, my mum used to, she was a puppeteer because there was no Wi-Fi. There was nothing to stream in like they've got today. There was no internet. None of that existed. So mum was a puppeteer with handheld puppets behind a little stage. And her puppets were called the Joy Bells. And she used to sing this little song, I got the joy bells in my heart. I've got the joy bells in my heart. And I still remember that today and see that today and can sing that today. And it's understanding that the joy is either in your heart or you don't have it. It's either in your heart or you don't have it. You've got to hold it in your heart. You've got to hold it in. If you allow others to hold it in their heart, you are going to be held hostage to others. You're going to be held hostage to circumstances and to situation and the times that you live in. Hold it in your heart. So joy is being self-aware. Joy is being in control of your own space. The book of Philippians that Pastor Mara Shell quoted from before when she was talking to us about our giving is what the Bible calls, it's the book of joy. It's the key word, the key thought, the key theme for the book of Philippians that Paul wrote is that whole subject and that whole topic of joy. And the Apostle Paul, he knew a lot about joy. Not that he had perfect circumstances. He had a lot of dark times. He had a lot of difficult, challenging issues that he was confronted with on a daily basis. He talks about the burden of the churches that he was responsible for that weighed heavy on him. And it does. You know, when you're a leader in church world, the burden of church world and church life weighs heavy on you. Paul was imprisoned, not once, but several times. He was placed in prison and under house arrest, not because he was a criminal, but he was put in prison because he preached the word of God. You know what that says to me? Your circumstance doesn't define who you are. You're not there because of something that you are. You're there because of an assumption. You're there, and Paul was there because of an assumption, was why he was contained and put in prison. And Paul writes to the church at Philippi in the book of Philippians about the pressures of his life and about the pressures that Jesus dealt with and how to live life well with a spirit of joy. And I love this book because it's so real, it's so relevant, because Paul's not writing to them from like the penthouse somewhere on the Sunshine Coast or the Gold Coast. Just go there in your mind for a moment. You know, you're sitting in the penthouse, and I don't know whether you've ever been in the penthouse of anywhere, but just imagine for a moment you're in the penthouse and on holidays. That just makes you happy straight away. If Paul's not in the penthouse, he's in prison. I don't know whether you've ever been in prison. I'm not going to ask you that. But if you've ever been, I've been to prison, not to... I've visited people in prison, and there is nothing nice about being in a prison. There is nothing nice about being locked up. We found that out this year. Victoria knows that oh too well. There's nothing like being restrained and contained and limited and held captive. And here's Paul. He's in prison, and in this circumstances of prison and limitation, he writes about having joy under pressure. And Paul's thought is this, is you can have joy in your heart, you can have joy in your mind, you can have joy in your spirit and joy in your life no matter what's going on around you. You can have real Christ-giving joy, joy to the world, great joy because of who Christ is to you and in you. And I'm not talking about some flaky, dippy, delusional state of denying the realities of life. I'm talking about being a real person who understands the challenges and the confrontations of life, yet has chosen to own their space. Turn to your neighbor and say, own your space. Own your space and to live with a spirit of joy. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians 1, verse 3, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Every time I think of you. He's in prison and he's thinking of his Philippian friends and the Philippian Christians and the Philippian church. And in his mind, he's remembering them, and he's saying, I thank God every time that I remember you. And in all my prayers for you, for all of you, I always pray with what? I always pray with joy. Every time he prayed for them, just something filled his heart. Something started to rise up the levels of joy for the church at Philippi. He says, I'm filled with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul's praying for the church, not with a sad heart because of his circumstances, not with a woe is me. He hasn't got the country and western twang going on. He's not writing, you know, sad thoughts. He's saying, every time I pray for you, even though my circumstances here, my heart's with you as a church, and I'm thankful for you and the partnership that we each have in the gospel. So he's in prison praying with joy. I kind of get challenged with the tension of that thought. Prison and joy. Prison and joy. They don't belong together. Like this year when you were told to lock down, shut down, stay home, isolate, there wasn't a great deal. I mean, there was a bit of joy for a day or two for some people because it's like, yeah, this is a novel thing to do, you know, a little bit of me time and after that. But after a couple of weeks of me time, it's just, that's enough. There's not much joy around, and you need to break out and see some people, have some coffee, go to some cafes, go to some restaurants, get out to the parks, go to work, just enjoy life again. And there's not much joy when you're feeling limited and hindered and challenged in the circumstance. But Paul says, I pray with joy every time when I remember you because of our partnership that we have in the gospel. You know, I think it's a good thing and it's a good deal to be thankful for your church. I just do. This is what Paul is thankful for while he's in prison. He's a church leader and he's in prison and he's going, you know what, I'm really thankful for the church. I think it's a good thing to be thankful for the church and for the families in the church and the individuals in the church and the people of the church. I think it's a good deal to be thankful for the people that come early and volunteer and prepare the room and put up trees and lights and make it clean and vacuum and shake hands on the door. I think it's a wonderful thing to be thankful for the skilled people that stand on stage and play instruments and sing songs and drum and that's a musician, same deal. And to be thankful for everybody, to be thankful for the people in the kitchen, the people upstairs doing children's church, kids' church, to be thankful for our techies that are up in the dark room there right now and doing such a wonderful job, to be thankful for our online church family. We're thankful today. It's a good thing to be thankful for your church leaders, to be thankful for your pastors. Thank you. Paul's saying, thankful. I'm full of thanks. I'm full of joy. Why? Because he knows he's got partners. Partners. People you can rely on. People you can rely on. People who will stand with you. Paul's thankful because he knows he's in prison, but he's not there alone. He may be isolated. He may be separated, but he's not alone. You know, when you've got partners, they may not physically be there. They may not physically be with you in presence, but you know you're not alone. See, like, I've got Jesus in my heart. I can't see him. I can't see him. Like, I can't see him walking down the road with me. I can't see him sitting next to me, but I know he's in my heart. I know he's in my heart. Any friends today? I know he's in my heart. So it brings joy knowing I've got the joy bells in my heart. You know, it's a choice to partner. It's a choice to partner. And it's also a choice to stand alone. Partnering means that you surround and you're surrounded. You surround and you're surrounded. Standing alone simply means you stand alone. And that's not a good place to be. Joy is an intentional focus and a decision. That's what joy is. It's an intentional focus and a decision. It's not a feeling. It's not a mood. It's not even an emotion. Joy does lead to emotions and it leads to better feelings and it leads to better moods. But it is an intentional decision to own your space and to be joyful in the trial, joyful in the test, joyful in the storm, joyful in the challenge, joyful no matter what is going on. When I was thinking about joy, I think this next statement is very true, that it's courage that empowers our joy. It takes a certain amount of courage to be joyful when things aren't going well. It takes courage to show up in church when you're doing pretty average, doesn't it? Come on. It takes courage to lift your hands and worship when you just feel like shriveling up. It takes courage to give when you're challenged financially. It takes courage to relationally connect when you feel relationally disconnected. It takes courage to choose joy when you're under pressure, when you're under the pump. It takes courage to sing when you don't feel like singing. It takes courage to brighten up and greet someone when you just feel like walking away. It takes courage to connect when you'd rather disconnect. It takes courage. So joy. Joy, it's a decision in the face of discouragement. It's a decision in the face of despair. And it's a decision in the face of defeat. It's an attitude of the heart. It's an atmosphere that we transmit to other. Don't you love joyful people? Come on. They are. Joyful people are just contagious to be around. They make you smile. They make you spark because they transmit something. They have an atmosphere around their life. You know, joy is a language. It's a language that you speak. It's a conversation that you have. And we need to dial up, and particularly in this season, dial up the language of joy. Dial up the conversation of joy. Get rid of the conversation of doubt. Get rid of the conversation of discouragement. Get rid of the conversation of disconnection. And dial up the language of joy. Joy is a spirit that sings. Joy is a spirit that sings in all seasons. You know, when we are under pressure, what we really need to do is what Paul did. We need to redirect our attention and our focus to things that bring us joy. Redirect our attention and focus to things that bring us joy. Paul's in prison. He's in a dark, challenging, limiting moment. Yet he redirects his thoughts towards the Philippian church. And whenever he prays, he says, "Every time I pray for you, I thank God for you. And my heart is filled with joy. And I pray prayers of joy for you," because of his friendships, because of his fellowship, and because of his partnership with the church. That's what we all need to learn to do. First big thought is this: there's always a reason for joy. There's always a reason for joy. No matter who you are, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happened this year, there's always a reason for joy. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got a reason for joy because you've got Him in you. You've got the King, the Savior, the Messiah in you. Good news, great joy. Good news and great joy. If you lean into Scripture, if you lean into the Word of God, if you lean into the ways of God, then you've got a reason for joy. If you've placed your hope in Christ, your faith in Christ, then you've got a reason for joy. Your limitation does not determine your joy. Don't allow your limitation to determine your joy. Because it's not really about what's going on around you. It's about what is going on inside of you. Your joy is what's in you. Your joy is who's in you. Who is in you? That's what brings your joy. Knowing that that baby that was born, that the angels announced and said, "He will bring good news and great joy," he's inside of me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. In other words, greater is He that is in me than anything that's happening in my world. Anything that could happen to me, greater is He that is in me. You know, you can be in a prison full of problems. You can be in a whole lot of pain right now. You can be in a prison of grief, despair, futility, frustration. You can feel trapped with no escape. And when you're in those moments, it's really easy to become a moaner and a groaner. When you're in those moments, don't be a moaner, don't be a groaner. When you're in those prison moments, it's really not going to help you. It's not going to get you to any good place. Nothing good comes from moaning. Nothing good comes from groaning. Because moaners and groaners are robbed of their ability and opportunity to enjoy life. They are robbed of their ability and freedom to enjoy life. You know, the path to freedom, the path to real long-lasting and consistent joy is to lift our perspective out of our current realities, out of the problems, out of the loss, out of the mess, out of the misery, out of the setback, out of the challenge, out of the circumstance, out of the pain, out of the person, out of the pressure, out of the prison, and to look for a reason, and sometimes you've got to look hard, look for a reason to be joyful, to find the treasure of hope, to find the treasure of hope for what you can be thankful for. Everyone's got a reason to have a heart full of joy for someone or something that is in your world. Paul tells us in this Philippians 1:6, he says, being confident of this, I'm confident of this, that he, that's God, who began the good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, the truth is God's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you and I yet. My next big thought is this, is God never stops working towards something good in our lives. He never stops working towards something good in our lives. We know this verse well, Romans 8:28, and we know that for those that love God, all things work together for good. Everything works together for our good, for those who are called according to his purposes. In other words, God uses the minuses of our life to create pluses. He uses the minuses of our life to create pluses. You know, God's at work in our junk to produce treasure. Don't you love it how some people turn junk into treasure? And I love that thought of that's what the gospel does. Beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. Just the wonderful things that God does out of things that look done. And you might look done right now, but you are not done. You may feel undone, but you are not done. God's not done with you yet. Turn to the neighbor and say, not done. You are not done. You may feel done. You may look done. You may think you are undone, but you are not, because God's not done with you yet. Because he's making something good out of you. He's doing something good in you. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, he understood. Beautiful out of my life. Ah, good old song. Only those over 60 knew it. That's why I forgot it. Something beautiful. Sorry, Trent. Something good. All my confusion. Don't you love this thought? He understood. He understands. You know, God is so much more understanding than we are. He understands. The Bible says he understands our weaknesses. He understands our trials, our temptations, our frustrations, our anxiety, our pain, our grief, our loss, our sorrow. He understands, and he can take all of that, all that minus, and turn it into pluses. He can take our inadequacy and make it adequate. He can take our lack and make it plenty. He can take our poverty and make it richness. He can take our weakness and make it strength. He can take our puzzle and make it full of purpose. He can clothe our pressure with his promise and his power. Great joy. Great joy. That's good news, isn't it? It's great joy that God wants to give every one of us. Philippians 1:12, let me read it. It says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that Paul says, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He's talking about being in prison. He writes to the church because the church are worried about him. The church should be worried when their leader's in trouble. And here Paul says, I'm in trouble, I'm in prison, but I want you to know that what's happened to me has actually worked out good. And why should that be a mystery when Romans 8:28 says, and Paul wrote that verse, that God works all things for good. So here he is in prison and he's going, hey, it's all good. I may look done, but I'm not done because God's not done. It's not easy to say that. I mean, look done, but I'm not done because God's not done. He says, I want you to know that what happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And as a result of me being in prison, it became clear throughout all the palace guard, everyone that was looking after him, and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. In other words, that Christ has got me here in prison. That Christ has located me in this place. And he goes on, he says, I hope I got it in my notes. No, I haven't. He goes on to say, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So Paul says, I'm in prison, but don't worry, don't panic. This is not a problem because God's got it. God's not done. I'm not done. God's got purpose in all of this. See, they'd locked him up to shut him up, but in locking him up, what they did was give him a platform. And he says, I'm preaching in this prison. And people are getting saved. They're coming to Christ. Here's my thought. If you've got a message, it doesn't matter where they put you. It can't stop you. It can't shut you down. It can't shut you up. It can't stop the message from coming out of a mess. God can bring purpose even in a prison, because now he had a captive audience and the prisoners and the guards were coming to Christ. And so your mess can be a message if you learn to joy up. Turn to your neighbor and say, joy up. Joy up means this. It's not a word you'll find in the dictionary, but it's joy, and up means under pressure. Joy up. It's an acronym. Joy up. Joy under pressure. Great joy. Your change can be freedom if you learn to joy up, if you keep a consistent spirit of joy. Here's my last thought. Don't be brought down or feel defeated by the pressure of an unbelieving culture. Don't be brought down and feel pressured and defeated by an unbelieving culture. In other words, don't let people bring you down. Don't let people bring you down. People always try and bring us down because of their opinion, their perspective, their thought, their processing, their view, their way of doing life, their opinions, their responses. People that don't share the same faith as you. If you're a believer, you need to listen to this right now. You have people in your world that don't share your faith. They don't share your Christian value. They don't share your hope of promise. They certainly don't share your Christ joy. Don't let people who don't share your faith determine your joy. For some of us, we are the only ones in our homes or families that believe in Jesus Christ. And you have people that live with you that you love, and love them, love them, love them. But don't let them lead your faith. They'll say things to you like, are you going to church again? Like, you've been twice in a row. Are you going to go every month? Like, seriously? Why don't you just be Catholic and go, you know, like Christmas and Easter? Why don't you just go seasonally, is what some people think. I'll tell you why. Because when Jesus came as that little baby and the angel said, this will be good news and great joy. When you discover the good news that is great joy, you just want to be around it all the time. You want to be around it all the time. You're like a child attracted to a Christmas tree. You know why children are attracted to a Christmas tree? Yeah. Because of the gifts and the presents that are under the tree. They're attracted to it. And you know, there are gifts and presents that God has for every one of us as we continue to do this journey of faith. Don't allow the others that are around your world that you love dearly, that you hold in your heart. Some are family, some are friends, some are peers, some of them you work with. And you know, the truth is, they don't know what you know. They don't know what you know. And you can't expect them to value and appreciate what you value and appreciate when they don't know what you know. If you know the good news, and you know that this Christ, Savior, Messiah, Lord has set you free and given you joy, then stay around him. Because there's lots of gifts and there's lots of things and good things that he wants to bring and do in our lives. Stay confident in who you love and in who you believe in. Stay confident in who you know and what you know. Stay confident in God's ways and in God's word. Stay confident with God's people and God's promises and God's power. Stay confident in God's plan and God's purpose for your life, and don't allow their pressures to bring you down. Don't allow the pressures of an unbelieving culture to bring you down. Don't allow the circumstances of your path to get you down. We've all got a path that has circumstances, things that pop up, things that press in on us, things that overshadow, things that want to dominate. Don't allow them to take you off path. Don't allow them to change your path. Don't allow them to detour your path. Stay the path. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay the path. Stay the path of joy. Stay the path of joy. You know, the truth is, not everyone will celebrate your path. Not everyone will cheer on your path. We will. We will cheer on your path. We will cheer on your journey. No matter what it looks like, even when it's ugly, we'll cheer it on. We will cheer it on because we know who's in you. We know the joy that could be yours and should be yours. We know the joy that would be yours if you look up. rather than look down. If you look up for hope, and if you look up for faith, and if you look up for vision, if you look up for purpose, if you look up for promise, we know what can happen in our lives. Don't let the pressure, I think Johnny Farnham sang something about it. Don't let the pressure cause you to bow, cause you to bend, or cause you to break. Stay confident, stay strong. Would you stand to your feet if you would, please? We're going to sing in a moment that song, Graves in the Gardens, is what we're going to sing. And that's a bit of a surprise. I just sprung that on Mitch. He didn't know that. Because they're prepared to play Joy to the World. But I just changed it because I felt like singing about something coming from death to life. Because I think that's a message for some people in the room right now. And maybe some people online right now about your circumstances and your situation. Don't let the pressure of what's going on in this moment take your joy, steal your joy, rob your joy, hijack your joy. You own your joy. Your joy is your joy. Your joy is your responsibility. Your cup is your cup. You've got to fill your own cup. You've got to fill your own cup. You've got to own your own space. You've got to be intelligent about it. You've got to be emotionally intelligent about it. You've got to be aware, self-aware of what's going on in your world. Things won't always be like a rose garden. There's a country and western song about that. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. There's going to be a little rain sometime. You know, there's things that are going to mess up, muck up, goof up. But there's always a reason for joy. Great joy. God never stops doing good things for us. Don't be brought down by an unbelieving culture. God's got some great joy. Great joy. Great joy for you. Joy to the world. Joy to everybody. All the boys and girls. All the mums and dads. All the granddads and the grandmas. All the church leaders and pastors. All those that are in prison. The shepherds in the field. Everybody. Good news. Great joy. Because God turns graves into gardens. Let's sing it today. Let's worship God. Come on.